Bill Gates says we should be spending a whole lot more on our energy future.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. A group of corporate leaders, including General Electric CEO Jeffrey Immelt and Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates, has a message for politicians in Washington. We're not spending nearly enough money researching new energy technology. The group is called the American Energy Innovation Council, and its members met with lawmakers from both parties on Capitol Hill yesterday. We're pleased to be joined now by a member of the council, Bill Gates. Welcome to Marketplace.
Great to be here.
Well, what exactly are you asking Washington to do?
Well, a group of business leaders came together to say that the investment in energy research is much lower than it needs to be, whether it's for getting low-cost energy or securing our energy supply or reducing environmental damage. We need breakthroughs. And the government funds research in a lot of areas, but in the case of energy, it's very low. And so we said that playing their key role, that's got to be increased by about $8 billion a year.
But that's a pretty big thing to ask for at a time when they're facing big trillion-dollar budget deficits.
Well, if you look at the country's challenges in terms of the trade deficit and the impact that has on the economy, energy spending is a big factor there. And, you know, I do think investing in the future is important at all times. The U.S. is by far the best at doing this type of innovation. It's the support of our universities and startups, national laboratories that really put us in a position to make breakthroughs that will help meet the world's energy needs, but also create great companies and great jobs here.
Now, you're calling for all this increase in energy research funding here in the United States. You travel all over the world. How do we rank at this point when it comes to our funding of research for energy?
Well, the quality of research in the U.S. is absolutely the best. Research funding we give to other areas like medicine and information technologies is the best in the world. In energy, we're not the leader in funding because it's less than 0.5% of the overall market. In fact, compared to every other area, it's funded at quite a low level, which given the important issues that it touches on, including overall competitiveness of all kinds of products because they use electricity in their manufacture, it's just short-sighted not to be doing more.
Bill Gates, who is in a push for more investment in energy research. Mr. Gates, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And you can hear an extended interview, including Bill Gates' thoughts on getting the private sector involved in energy research at marketplace.org. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in Europe and Asia this morning, about 0.5% higher in Singapore, up about 0.5% also in London right now. Even after Moody's downgraded the credit ratings of two major French banks, saying the banks are too exposed to Greek debt and don't have enough cash. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 44 points to close at 11,105.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
Toyota says its production in North America is back up to full capacity 6 months after the earthquake and tsunami in Japan caused a worldwide slowdown. The company had originally expected it wouldn't be back up to full speed here in North America until the end of the year. Meanwhile, the labor contract between the United Auto Workers Union and the big three American automakers expires tonight at midnight, and there probably will not be a new one in place come tomorrow morning. The contract talks affect wages and benefits for more than 100,000 people. We've got no word yet from Chrysler or General Motors. Ford and the union have signaled they plan to keep talking. Michigan Radio's Tracy Samilton has more now from Detroit.
Ford is the only Detroit car company that faces the possibility of a strike. The UAW agreed not to strike GM and Chrysler as part of their bankruptcies in 2009. But union president Bob King says that doesn't change his approach to the talks. He wants more union jobs and a better standard of living for workers, but he says he's not willing to see high labor costs erode the profits of the Detroit Three.
So we've got to be smart and creative, finding ways to increase income without creating a competitive disadvantage.
That's why King is open to profit sharing and bonuses tied to quality instead of an across-the-board cost of living increase. But that stance rankles some of the rank and file. Gary Walkowicz is with the UAW Bargaining Committee at a Ford plant in Dearborn. He thinks Ford can afford a pay hike.
They're profitable to the extent that Ford Motor Company made, I think, $6.2 billion last year, which was one of the most profitable years ever.
Walkowicz thinks workers are ready to walk off the job if there's no pay hike in the next contract. But Kristen Dechek of the Center for Automotive Research says the possibility of a strike is remote.
There have been dissident groups in the UAW for as long as the UAW has been around. And very rarely do they change policy dramatically.
Ford Motor Company wouldn't comment on the status of the negotiations, but the talks at General Motors and Chrysler could end suddenly. Either the companies or the union can demand binding arbitration after tonight's deadline. I'm Tracy Samilton for Marketplace.
And finally, North Korea has had a hard time getting tourists to come visit, perhaps because of the cold weather, or maybe it's the authoritarian regime. I don't know. But North Korea has just launched a cruise ship. Now, it's not exactly like the cruise ships that roam the Caribbean. According to a journalist who took a ride, the water faucets don't work and the cabins are dorm-like. And they take away your phones when you make a stop on shore. But the all-you-can-eat buffet, oh, actually, there isn't one of those either. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
In an economy with more job seekers than jobs, there is a certain dilemma to be had, a trade-off, if you will.
There's an older segment of the working population that brings experience and a certain wisdom, and the younger generation brings a wonderful vitality.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Jobs Through the Ages, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.